Hey everyone, this is Three Questions with Kim Strobel. Showing my hands. There you go. I love it. All right. Hey, so this is a really special Three Questions with Kim Strobel because she actually has a new book out that is called Teach Happy, Small Steps to Big Joy that we published with Impress. So just congratulations. Get a little air out to do this so everyone can see my hands. So Kim, first of all, congratulations. We are like so pumped for this book to get out to the world. So are you excited for this or what's going on?
Yeah, you know, I've been full of anticipation, but this morning, George, when the cover was revealed, I got completely choked up and did not expect that. Like all this emotion came and I've just been a trooper through this whole thing. And, you know, I've just put my head down to the grindstone and got it done. And it's been a dream I've had for 10 years and I couldn't move the needle to make it happen until the last year. And you were partly the reason for that. So thank you.
Well, it's funny. I actually remember exactly where I was. I was in, I can't remember. I remember like I can visualize it. It was in Florida. I was about to speak to a teacher group. I remember getting on a call. I'm like, you got to write a book. Let's go. And then do you remember that? Do you remember that?
I was speaking in Orlando, or no, in Atlanta, and Dwight Carter was in the audience, and Dwight texts you and says, you got to get Kim Strobel to write this book. And so you called me and I picked up and I'm like, hi, George. And you said, enough is enough, Strobel. Write the blank book.
That sounds like me. People know me. I'm kind of forceful that, but I'm so pumped. So I'm going to ask you like three quick questions about it. So, and by the way, anyone who's listening, it is in, and I'm using my hands. I'm making sure people see my hands. So it is in the description down below. So you can, pick up the book right now. Again, the title is Teach Happy, Small Steps to Big Joy. So this doesn't count as one of the questions. It's just, but I want like, what's like a 1 minute synopsis of the book and actually like what, it, how does it connect to education? Because that's the majority of people that obviously listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, George, as a former fourth grade teacher, I feel like I walked out the glass doors almost every single day with my head kind of hung down, my shoulders slumped, kind of feeling defeated. And instead of focusing on the 99 things that I did well that day, it was always the one or two things that I didn't handle well. Like maybe I entered into a power struggle with a student, or maybe I completely failed on this lesson, or I never even, you know, and I would just kind of beat myself up over it. And you know, this was several years ago. And now, as I empower educators and I get up on the stage and I give these talks, I have school leaders and teachers flood to me after. And I know you see this too, but the thing that's been really just like heart-wrenching the last few years is these are well-meaning, well-intentioned, totally heart-centered people who want to be in this profession, but are absolutely, completely overwhelmed and sinking and emotionally frayed because they don't know how to get out of the chaos of how do I really perform and show up as the best version of myself for myself first so that I have what I need to show up for my students. And how can I do this job and also be allowed to reclaim the other parts of my life because I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, that's and I know you know enough about my journey over the last few years. That's a really big thing for me too, is actually separating the two, right? Like really being purposeful about my work and loving it and being passionate, but then also turning it off and then, you know, being able to step away and being fine with that. And like, you know, I think a lot of times I remember someone saying to me like, hey, George, like you work all the time. You got to stop smelling roses. I'm like, that's stupid. And then like as I go, oh, that's actually pretty good advice. And so, you know, separating that too, like you should, you know, enjoy what you do, enjoy that. But also I think it is really important to actually, you know, connect with that. So I think you might've answered this a little bit, but I'm going to be way more explicit. You know, like you obviously have a message and I think it's really, really powerful, but like, why did you write this book? Why do you think this is so necessary for, you know, people to read? And I think, you know, I know you've talked about this quite a bit. Like some people are going to see maybe the title and think it's like, oh, you're just going to be like, just be positive. Like, don't, you know, like don't sweat the small stuff kind of thing. But I know it's not that. So what was the intention of writing this book in the first place?
Well, I think the thing is, George, is that you and I can get on a stage and we can inspire and empower people for 60 or 75 minutes. Or, you know, we hear this all the time. Everybody listening is like, yes, we've heard this, Kim. We know we need to get control of our life. We know that, you know, we don't want to work like this forever and feel all of this stress. For me, George, it was going one step beyond that and saying, but teachers need to know how. How do they do this? How do they get off this hamster wheel of life? Because we don't know what different actions we can take. And you and I have been in the mindset field for the last several years, and we have studied what the action behind and the behaviors behind actually making these changes in our lives and what that does for us. But for me, this is a roadmap that says, okay, you want it. Okay, now it's not enough to want it. Let me show you the how to, so right, that we can back this out and give you these tiny little things that will move the needle in a big way in your life. And for me, I'm kind of sick of like I can't stand toxic positivity. And I'm a little worried that when people say, see, teach happy, they're going to think that I'm just touting that, like, show up and be the best you can be for kids. And it's not that. It's about you understanding that your happiness needs to come at the forefront of your life. And when we can teach you how to do that, that's when we start to create ease in the other parts of your life.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because you, like, teachers are notorious, and I've been there, in the sense that you will give everything to everyone else and then have nothing left. And then eventually, when you have nothing left, you can't give to anybody. And so it is really important too. And I was so blessed to have really good leadership, administrators. I remember one time specifically, it was like, you need to, like, take some time off. Like, you need, and it was almost like, you know, in my mind, it was like almost a punishment at first. But as I, like, took the time, I'm like, oh my God, like, if I would have taken this time off, it would have been really, really bad. So I think, you know, I think this really applies to teachers, definitely. But I also think that, you know, you need administrator support too. So I'm hoping, like, a lot of administrators, you know, pick up this book as well too, because it's like, hey, you know what, like, you shouldn't be stressed. And so on our PD day, we're going to offer you yoga. And it's like, how about don't stress us out? How about not do yoga and just not be stressed out? So, yeah.
And I think it's understanding that happiness piece, George. It's understanding that this is not just, you know, okay, ignore the heart of this profession and just think about the positive things and just refocus positive. But let me tell you what, George, this is about reframing our brains to learn how to be more positive, because when our brains are positive versus negative, neutral, or stressed, here's what happens. When our brain is at positive, it is 31% more productive, which means you're getting more done in a day's time than what you could when your brain was at stressed, negative, or neutral. It means that you're 10 times more engaged in your job, and you're 3 times more creative. And so these are the driving happiness research pieces that have been studied and vetted for the last 40 years. But the reason they're so hard is exactly like what you're saying. We have these downloaded social scripts that tell us, you know what, if you, this is how we function, and I don't know how not to function. And you just did a post on social media recently about a woman, a teacher who worked for you, who didn't feel like she could give herself the grace to grieve because she needed to show back up for her job. And when I read that what you told her, I was like screaming, this is what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I in the last couple of years, one of the things I've really known is how connected your physical health and your mental health and your emotional health are. Like, they're, you know, like, they are correlated. So I love that you highlight that too. So a lot of people are going to learn a ton from you in this book, and not just like why this is so important, but, you know, how you can do this, you know, and, you know, as you said, kind of small steps. But what did you learn from writing the book? Like, what was something that you're like, I had no idea this was, and maybe it's like through the book writing process, like what that was like, maybe it was like stuff that, you know, maybe that you implemented the book that when you first wrote it, you never really thought of sharing, but it did. So, like, what was your big takeaway from writing this?
Well, first of all, George, I never believed in myself as a writer. Mm-hmm. And for 10 years, I've told myself I have a book inside of me. And then every other, belief system in me scream, but Kim, you're not a writer. You're not a prolific writer. You're not like the, you know, great person at, sharing your thoughts. And so I would write a chapter and then I would give it up for 2 or 3 years. And then I'd come back to it. And so there was just like all this evidence that was backing up my belief that I am not a writer. And in the last year, what I have figured out is I am a writer. It doesn't have to be perfect. That's why I have Impress. That's why I have an editing team.
Right.
But the other thing is George, every single thing I'm writing about this book, it's stuff I'm still, you don't write about it because you're the guru of it. you write about it because you're a practitioner of this. And so there were some things like when I was writing the chapter on boundaries, you know, and understanding that we can't keep saying yes to everything and that we have to, you know, really learn to even figure out what our boundaries are and then begin to engage in them, which that triggered all kinds of stuff in me because boundary work has been something that I have struggled with my whole life, you know? So yeah, I just started to see these pieces where, okay, Kim, like this is also the work that you need to keep doing in your life. And so I want to make sure that people do understand that it's not that I'm the guru of happiness or that I've perfected this. I know what to do, George. My brain knows what to do, but it's making myself uncomfortable enough to take these actions in my life so I can start to feel better in those areas of my life that are important to me.
I'm always a little resistant to experts that don't live what they, or and maybe not even going through some of the struggles that they're talking about too, right? And I think one of the things I've really been talking about is that idea of you shouldn't be lead by example, it should be learned by example. That people need to see that you're also going through this process with them. And then, so it is, you know, it's much easier to go through that when you know the person you're sharing. And, you know, for me, anyone who's an expert in any area is because they are adamantly excited about learning about that area, not that they're all knowledgeable, right? They know that the more they know, the more they learn, the less they actually know, and they're trying to figure out as they go. So I love this. All right, so this book gets out to the world, people read it, you know, all over. What do you hope that it actually achieves, you know, once people get it in their hands?
That is such a great question. I think for one thing, one of the things that speaks to me so much right now is I find that those of us who are in education, and I'm not meaning to put a label here, but I think that we're kind of wired differently in that we're very high achieving. We're willing to self-sacrifice all day long for the benefit of others. And even, you know, when we go home and we're constantly fighting this inner critic inside of us, George. I mean, I'm sure you have one. I have one. Her name is Ethel. And I mean, she is vicious. She is constantly trying to put me in my place. And so what I really hope is that as readers read this book, they're able to pick one tiny little habit that they can implement that is going to change their life in a small little way. And then they're going to build that momentum. But I guess what I really hope, George, is at the end of the book, they take a big sigh and they go, you know what? I'm allowed to give myself some grace. I understand now that I am worthy of loving myself enough to know that I can also invest in myself, because while I'm a teacher or a school leader, I'm more than that. Right. And I'm allowed to be more than that in the other parts of my life.
Yeah. You know, so I've been writing about this quite a bit lately. All this stuff with artificial intelligence, which is absolutely amazing, incredible. My big concern is the loss of humanity through that process, right? Like, we're going to have artificial intelligence write blog posts that artificial intelligence is going to read, right? And there's no actual like human connection here. So I think that's one of the reasons I'm really excited about that, is because it's really in a time where there's so much focus on digital tools. You're saying like, we need to focus on humanity and we need to focus on connecting with one another and honestly with ourselves. And that's something that I'm really excited about with this book. You know, I've had some struggles this year, and I'm like, as you're talking about this, I'm like, oh my God, I need to read this so bad. So I'm excited to like really read it. And I know it's going to help me just because of all the work that you do. And the thing that I love is that, it is really practical, but there's so much research that you share that backs up all the stuff that you're sharing. So it's not just, you know, one or the other. I think that's really important. So Kim, congratulations. So I'm so excited for you. Everyone listening, make sure you check out the book, and make sure you actually, and you'll see Kim's, actually, I got to ask you this question. What's the hashtag? Do you have a hashtag already to go for this?
Yes, we have a hashtag, and get this, George, I'm so excited. And Paige was so excited about this too, your wife. We have like, if the hashtag is teach happy, but like, I'm trying to create like a teach happy revolution, because like, I really want people to know they're allowed to be happy within the profession and outside of it. And so like, we have sweatshirts, we have t-shirts, all of it says teach happy, just as reminders that our happiness counts and that we count. And, you know, one of the things I want to reiterate real quickly, just because you brought it up, George, is that whole idea of relationships. I just read a study this morning, and this guy did a study of like, what are your goals? And he did this to thousands of people. And it was like they had financial goals and they had spiritual goals and they had fun goals and they had health goals. And as they pilfered through them, George, only a very small percentage of the goals had relationships in them.
Right.
So you're speaking to my heart there and understanding that, you know, connections matter. And there is this new word out there called mattering. And mattering is important. It's important that we matter. It's important that our students feel seen, loved, and valued. But you know, we can't forget ourselves in that equation.
I love it. So, hey, if you are listening to this podcast, you get the book, hit up the hashtag Teach Happy. Make sure you tag Kim in it. Share something that you learned from the book. Because, you know, I think one of the things that we really pride ourselves on is the importance of building community about this. Because I know, this is, I know about you, Kim, is that you have a lot to share, but you're also willing to learn from people that are reading your book. And so share your comments to the Teach Happy hashtag. I know Kim's going to be watching it adamantly. So again, congratulations, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We want to hear about the book. We hope you love it. Have a wonderful day. Take care.